translation by Srila Prabhupada, and then we'll get the Telugu translation by someone else, it seems. The sage Jamadagni, who was engaged in great austerities in the forest, received the king very well, along with the king's soldiers, ministers and carriers. He supplied all the necessities to worship these guests, for he possessed a Kamadhinu cow that was able to supply everything. The Brahma Samhita informs us that the spiritual world, and especially the planet Golok Vrindavan, where Krishna lives, is full of Surabhi cows, Surabhir Abhipalayantam. The Surabhi cow is also called Kamadhinu. Although Jamadagni possessed only one Kamadhinu, he was able to get from it everything desirable. Thus he was able to receive the king, along with the king's great number of followers, ministers, soldiers, animals, and palanquin carriers. When we speak of a king, we understand that he is accompanied by many followers. Jamadagni was able to receive all the king's followers properly and feed them sumptuously with food prepared in ghee. The king was astonished at how opulent Jamadagni was because of possessing only one cow, and therefore he became envious of the great sage. This was the beginning of his offense. Parashuram, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Kartavirya Arjuna, because Kartavirya Arjuna was too proud. One may possess unusual opulence in this material world, but if one becomes puffed up and acts whimsically, he will be punished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the lesson to learn from this history, in which Parashuram became angry at Kartavirya Arjuna and killed him and rid the entire world of Kshatriyas 21 times. Both Kartavirya Arjuna and Jamadagni were very powerful. Kartavirya Arjuna thought himself most powerful, but he wasn't. It looked like he should have been more powerful. Anyway, being a king with weapons, he was powerful. But Kartavirya Arjuna was exceptionally powerful. There are many, many powerful kings in the history of the world, but they don't all make it into the Puranas. You have to be really something special to get into the Puranas. So, long before the Indian government, he made a dam on the Narmada River. You don't know, in North India there's the failed Narmada Bachao Andalan, endeavor to stop the Narmada River being down. Down this way it's Kaveri. The Kaveri quarrel is down here, on this side of India. So he was very powerful, and he came upon this skinny, dirty, hairy sage in the middle of the forest, who was living there with a cow. And he couldn't have imagined that skinny Muni in the middle of the forest with a cow could be more powerful than to have some opulence more than him. Jamadagni was able to produce all kinds of arrangements for the visiting party of the king, Kartavirya Arjuna. Raja ayam iti nyayaha. There's one example that the king is come. King has come. So if you say the king has come, it means that so many ministers and a whole big ministers and attendants and elephants and horses and palanquin carriers, there's a whole big arrangement. But Jamadagni, by his tapodhana, his tapo shakti, his power that he had gained from austerities, he had the kamadhenu, and he was able to supply everything instantly for Kartavirya Arjuna and his party. Kartavirya Arjuna was very powerful No doubt because he had performed some pious activities previously. It appears that many of the munis, or they're performing austerities for the sake of getting material opulence later on. That's why Indra becomes afraid of them. If all the munis were simply interested in self-realization, he wouldn't be afraid of them. But he is afraid of them because most of them want to use their accumulated punya that they have attained from performing austerities to enjoy in heaven. So Kartavir Yarjuna must have done some pious, very pious activities to have attained the physical power that he had. And he became victim of the common cycle of fall down. And someone performs some pious activities, they get some, as a result of that, they become exalted in human society. Then they become proud. Okay, let's go step by step. First of all, they perform some pious activities. Then they attain an exalted position in human society as a result of those pious activities. Wow. Then they become proud. They offend others. They think that this opulence that I have is inherent in me. I can never be separated from this. They perform sinful activities and they fall down. And it goes on like that. Even one can become proud by being a powerful king. One can be proud by being a powerful rishi also. Or one can be proud by being a successful devotee. Then the success is lost. Success for a devotee means trinadapi sunichta. To be consider oneself lower than grass. But then if one thinks, oh yeah, I'm very humble, then you become non-humble and you fall down. So it's a common cycle. You go up, come down. Then when you're down in the drain, you think, what am I doing here? Okay, it's time to become pious again. Oh God, I forgot you. Then you become pious and then you gradually get out of the drain and we go up and then we become proud and then we go down again. So how can we break out of this cycle? Well, we actually have to become devotees. Actual trinadapi sunichta. Actually feeling ourselves lower than grass. Krishna consciousness is easy, isn't it? Prabhupada always said it's very easy. Chant Hare Krishna, sing, dance, take prasadam, nothing difficult at all about it. But actually it's much more difficult than being a yogi living in the forest eating grass. Because to think oneself lower than the grass is the most difficult thing, actually. It appears to go against our whole nature. Because in material consciousness, that's what it is. It's material, it's perverted. Perverted consciousness. Viparita buddhi. This back-to-front way of thinking. Now the natural propensity of the soul to love Krishna becomes perverted. And instead of the tendency to love Krishna, the tendency to think oneself great, Ishvara hamaham bhogi, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, this overtakes our whole way of thinking. Maya grasta, that's called. It's called Maya grasta, swallowed by Maya. Krishna bhuli se jivanadi bahimok, atev maya taride. No, what's that verse? Ami nitya Krishna das e kotha bhule maya nafar hoya chiradin bhule. That forgetting that I am the servant of Krishna, the eternal servant of Krishna, I become the servant of maya and wander around like that forever. Maya grasta jive hoy she bhavudoy. What's the first line of that? Pishachi paile jaina matti channa hoy. Maya grasta jive hoy shei bhavudoy. Then become swallowed up by Maya. Maya grasta jive hoy e bhavudoy. And it becomes just like our whole consciousness. becomes overcome by the thought that I am separate from Krishna, or just forgetting Krishna, Krishna Bhuli, just like a haunted person. Haunted person means crazy person, and acts in a completely perverted way. So everyone is like that. Kartavya Arjuna was exhibiting this, what he was exhibiting, his pride, that he became so proud that he became offensive to Jamadagni. You could say he had reason to be proud. He made Ravana cry. Ravana means who makes everyone cry. But he made Ravana. So you could say he had good reason to be proud. But actually there is no good reason to be, because whatever power he had, it may seem tremendous, amazing power, but it's only a tiny speck of the power of Krishna. It's given by Krishna. So however powerful one may become, one should always remember that this is all the gift of Krishna. So in the Shastra, in the Puranas, we have many narrations of persons who misused their independence and suffered because of that. The same syndrome that Kartavya Arjuna was exhibiting, that's the same as everyone in the material world. It's just that the example of Kartavya Arjuna is it's more striking than that of an ant or a flea that's also suffering from the same syndrome. So this extreme example shows the position of everyone in this material world. So he was very puffed up, but he met his match in due course of time, that he thought he was most powerful and could get away with doing anything. But he had not reckoned with the power of this Parashuram, whose axe would move so swiftly that it couldn't be seen. It was just in within a second, he had so many heads would be off, and legs, arms, everything. Just like like a super factory machine or something. He was just thousands of kshatriyas killed instantly. Kartavya Arjuna, he could not have imagined that there could be such a powerful person. First thing, you couldn't imagine there'd be anyone as powerful as Ravana. But Kartavya Arjuna was more powerful than him. So he thought, Kartavya Arjuna, I'm on top. But he couldn't imagine the power of Parashuram. Parashuram was ultimately defeated by some young boy. Another Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, when in his childhood he defeated someone else. Parashuram fought with and had a tough time was his own disciple Bhishma Dev. Yeah. So these narrations are there in Shastra. There are so many lessons to learn. Prabhupada mentions here, Srila Prabhupada mentions that What is the main lesson to be learned from the history of Kartavya Arjuna? We can read that again, as it's important. One may possess unusual opulence in this material world, but if one becomes puffed up and acts whimsically, he will be punished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the lesson to learn from this history. So we can apply that in day-to-day life also. We can see life as it's going on around us in terms of shastric instruction. There was one Saddam Hussein who was very powerful. He met his end. He met the end of the life of Saddam Hussein. It came to an end. In Pakistan, different persons trying to get power. One of them recently left the scene or was booted out. I'm also not reading the newspaper. Someone told me. They don't know. Her fate came a little later. So like this, big people, we can see, they're proud, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, and time comes, finished, all finished. Everyone is under the control of the time factor, which is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's better in general to discuss these topics in terms of the Puranic descriptions or the Shastric descriptions. We can apply these examples to life as we see it around us. But we don't want to get too much involved in talking about politicians or local politics, village politics, Gramya Katha. Instead of discussing about world politics, we can like to discuss about politics, we can discuss Mahabharata. That's also politics. Because if we discuss worldly politics, then we'll be discussing, well, this politician said this, that politician said that. But if we discuss Shastric topics, then we'll be saying that, well, Duryodhana said this, Dhritarashtra said that, and then Krishna replied like this. It's purifying. If we discuss about worldly politics, it's contaminating. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he refused to see Prataparudra Maharaj because he was a politician. That what could be worse for someone who is niskincha, who is supposed to have given up the world, what could be worse than seeing a materialistic person or someone who is attached to women? So Prataparudra Maharaj appeared like that. The king, he was living in opulence, had several wives, as kings used to have. So even to think about or talk about these people, it's contaminating. We can touch on it, but giving the light of Shastra, we can say that everyone meets their fate. Swakarma Pala Bhuk Puman, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said when he got news of this Haridas, Chota Haridas, having given up his life. He said, everyone gets the results of their activities. That was his response. So when we hear about the various ups and downs of various materialistic people, we can remember this. But no need to get very much involved in all the different trying to understand or political analysis, all this kind of thing. Because however powerful these people may be, they're ultimately insignificant. So many great kings have come and gone. What to speak of kings, so many Brahmas have come and gone. Kota Chataranana Mari Mari Javta, Prabhupada would quote that. How many foreheads have come and gone? Forehead means here, F-O-U-R, foreheads. Koto Chaturanana. How many Chaturananas, how many foreheaded people have come and gone? So, we can hear about Sudama, poor man, who was rich. Here is described, Tapodana, Jamadagni was rich with austerity. But actually we're not that much interested in Jamadagni either. Sudama. There's more than one Sudama. The famous, most famous in this world is that in Tamil they say Kuchala. You say also, yeah, here. Who was very poor, but he was rich with Premdham, love of Krishna. So we would rather hear about such persons than hear about the great persons of this material world. The really great persons are Rup Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jeev Gopal, Bhatta Das Raghunath, and so many. Of course, even in the worldly sense, at least two of them, they were very great persons. Rup and Sanatan, they were ministers, they're very powerful in the king of Kingdom of Bengal.
But no one would know their name now had they not been devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the time, they were very ministers, they're very powerful in the Kingdom of Bengal. But no one would know their name now had they not been devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the time, they were very powerful, very great. Big event if they come to visit some place. Who's the chief minister of AP? Does he ever come here? He's a Christian, right? Does he come here? He came here?
Nearby.
He wouldn't enter this contaminated place from his, I won't say rascal, but from his point of view. All right, you better be careful what you say, otherwise we'll all end up in prison. So, but if he comes to a place, it's a big event, right? Now, Basu Ghosh Prabhu was telling me that the world famous, just trying to think of his name, Modi, what's the first name? Narendra Modi. He came just opposite our temple in Baroda. He didn't come in the temple, but he went just opposite the temple. So he's a world famous figure, or infamous, some could say. Infamous. So I asked Basu Ghosh, why didn't you invite him to the temple? I said, I couldn't get near him. So many, a huge crowd to see him. Even they let him in, Basu Ghosh, they let him, the black cat surrounding him, they let him in, inside the black cat cordon, but still he couldn't get close to her, because there's so many people with him. So many, a huge crowd to see him. Even they let him in, Pastor God, they let him, the black cat surrounding him, they let him in, inside the black cat cordon, but still he couldn't get close to her, because there's so many people with him. So like that, Rupa and Sanatan, they were like that. They were big men in the government of Nawab Hussain Shah. But if they weren't devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nowadays you wouldn't find, no one would have heard of their name even. So like that, 500 years from now, most likely, the name of Narendra Modi or whoever they may be, it'll all be, there won't even be any trace, no record, nothing. So Ramananda Rai, he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is actually famous is a devotee of Krishna. That's a fact. Because what the devotees do, that's actually worth remembering. There's so many politicians and kings fighting for power. It's just the same useless drama over and over again. But what the devotees do is so significant that it's not forgotten by other devotees. Some years ago, shortly after I published this book, Vanshidas Babaji, I gave a copy of it to one businessman. So he looked at the cover, and you can understand that Vanshidas Babaji, what he looks like and what the businessman is aspiring to be is just about opposite. Doesn't look very successful from the material point of view. So he said, well, who is he? He asked me. I said, he was a great devotee of Krishna. He said, yeah, well, what did he do? What did he achieve? You think that you have to do so, you have to have a big business empire or build a skyscraper and then you're a success. So I told him he loved Krishna. I told the businessman he loved Krishna. He didn't register with him. What's the point? What's the point of that? There was that at the end of the Second World War, there was a conference between Stalin, who was that, Eisenhower, Churchill, maybe de Gaulle, and they, all the big leaders of the hood, conquered the Germans and smashed them. So one of them suggested that, well, why don't we call the Pope also? And Stalin said, how many divisions does he have? Divisions means military unit. You could only imagine that someone's important if they have soldiers in their command. So different people judge in different ways. Physical or military might a military person, he thinks this is very important. Among businessmen, when they get together, they discuss about business. Who's got more money? And fashionable women, they discuss about who's the most beautiful, I suppose, I don't know. So devotees, they discuss the Harikatha, discuss about Krishna. So we have this class, so we can discuss about Krishna. And how we can see everything in this world as Krishna sees it, through the eye of Shastra. Katavya Yajana is not dear to Krishna, so his life is wasted. But Sudama, who has nothing materially, really, no, I mean the only thing he had was a little, this cracked rice, that's all he had. But Krishna loved him, so he's worth remembering. And Katavya Yajana is worth remembering for his folly, foolishness. Okay, according to my watch, we have 2 minutes, so maybe there's time for one question. Okay. You're not on IST. Why don't you put it on the right time? Every ISKCON temple, they have to be... The time in the temple is always incorrect. It's like a rule in ISKCON. I wonder why. Anyway, that's my question. You could put it on the right time. Then, yeah, please. You have the mic?
Maharaj, earlier in the lecture you were talking about how a devotee can think that he's trying to be humble, and then he begins to think, oh, I'm very humble, and then that's a cause of fallout. So true humility, doesn't it require some realization how great Krishna is, and then we can see our perspective, how insignificant we are?
Yeah, exactly. Often devotees ask, well, how can I be humble? So I always reply to this, well, what are you proud about? I always reply to this, what are you proud about? We have no reason, there's no good reason to be proud of anything. It's only foolishness. If we consider how insignificant we are, then we won't be proud. But we are Pishachi Paile Jena Motti Chonna Hoy. Maya grasta jiva hoy she bhavudo. We're crazy. That's our problem. And therefore we think that we're very important, but we're not. Just like in the crazy house. They have, you know, someone will be saying, I'm Mahatma Gandhi. You know, 5 or 6 Mahatma Gandhis in the lunatic asylum. I'll finish with a humorous story that I heard from Atma Tapra Prabhu long ago, so it's a bit prajalpic, but anyway, I heard it from Atma Tapra, so that's my praman, sadhu praman. It's a joke that Pandit Nehru once visited a lunatic asylum, and just to see how all the lunatics were. So he met one person and he introduced himself. He said, well, I am Jawaharlal Nehru, I'm the Prime Minister of India. The patient said, don't say that. I said that and I landed inside here. So that's us. We're thinking I'm Krishna and we're here. That's our misfortune. Hare Krishna.